The Cat Attack Podcast. Kurz Hire, quality equipment for hire and sales.
And we're rolling for the Kurz Hire Cat Attack Podcast, Season 17, Episode 233. This is going to be...
quality equipment for hire and sales, Benny.
This episode of the Kurz Hire Cat Attack Podcast is going to be better than anything Hey Dad served up in the day. Oh, we shouldn't go there.
Oh,
should we?
Ben.
Nudge.
No, Ben. Move on.
Nudge. And no, Nudge was fine, wasn't he?
Yeah, Nudge was fine. But let's move on.
Okay, anyway.
Let's move on.
I didn't really like Hey Dad. It wasn't
Weren't
sort
you
of,
fun? Weren't you a fan, sorry?
It was a wasn't I fun? Is that a New Zealand? No, I'm not from New Zealand, Tom. But
choice.
No, it wasn't very well written.
Thank
Do you know what is very well written?
Well,
it wasn't funny. It wasn't funny. Like, I like humour that's funny. And do you know what is funny?
What's funny?
And I'm revisiting it on a nightly basis.
It is.
Two episodes a night with me and Junior.
Yeah.
Modern Family.
It's very good.
It is hysterical. And it is very well written.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I understand you're a Sofia Vergara fan.
Well, if you're not, you need to be checked out by a medical expert.
Yeah. Tell you what I'm enjoying.
What?
Hacks.
Oh, right.
Which is pretty good. I finally just caught
as
up
in
with
H-A, as in is it
H-A-C-K-S.
Is this a story about golf?
No. No. I would be the guest star.
Right.
No, it's about a fading Las Vegas comedian, and she is struggling with jokes, and there's a young girl comes in to be her writer, and it's their dynamic. It's very, very well. I've watched the first four episodes. It's actually, it must be on Stan.
Before we talk about the footy, the gap between the American comedy, it's either shit, like, sort of clap reel, or it's very well written.
Yeah.
Cheers, Modern Family. They have good characters.
Seinfeld.
Yeah, I was never a big Seinfeld, but I get that. It was a bit offbeat for me. Like, I like offbeat, but not quite that sort of... Yeah, anyway, it wasn't my sort of humour. But some of these other shows, but Americans, they made a lot of crap, unfortunately. But anyway, the Cats didn't make crap on Saturday night, did they, King?
No, until the captain swore after. Oh, that was gold. He delivered in so many ways on Saturday night.
He referenced the time before he delivered his F-bomb, which was... So it was time-stamped. It was actually, looked down, it was 10:29.
No, it was.
So the irony there was, King, my junior texted me, said, who just dropped the F-bomb on the radio? That's bad.
Yeah, what's your junior still doing awake?
Well, yeah, that's probably true, Kingy. But she was watching an unbelievable game of footy, and it had just finished, and the Cats had got the chockey. So she was up and about. It was we've been treated to some rippers in the opening eight rounds, the Cats, haven't we? We've had Adelaide, which was a beauty. We've won all of them, but even if you didn't win, you could still enjoy the game if you weren't
Brisbane
game was a good game. Cats on the wrong side of that ledger, but found the right side against Adelaide, the right side against Hawthorn, and unbelievably, I'm still scratching my head as to how they beat Collingwood on Saturday night.
Yeah. They 20 points down early in the third quarter, all the momentum with Collingwood. Well, and you felt that I reckon if Collingwood kicked one more goal, Geelong never put the white flag up the pole, but it would have been really hard for them to come back from that.
Have you ever had the white flag go up the pole?
I've never surrendered.
No, you just keep ploughing on, Dickie.
That's
fantastic.
We like the Cats.
You're relentless. Yeah, which is exactly what the Cats were, Kingy. They were relentless. We were mulling after the game, and I think I was said to Zach Toohey that if you watch the game, Geelong probably won one quarter. And I'm not suggesting they won a whole quarter. They won about the first, I reckon, 10 minutes of the game. They were clearly on top. And they were on top for probably the first 20 minutes of the last quarter.
Yep.
The rest of the game, I reckon they were pretty much well beaten. Somehow they found a way to win. And I think, thinking about it, King, one of the reasons they were able to do that was because Collingwood don't put you away. That's one of the faults of Collingwood. They do not put you away. They can get the better of you for long periods of time, but they don't have the ability to put the foot on the throat and put an eight-goal gap on you and make it game over. They just don't do that. And Geelong have the ability and the players to take advantage of that if you leave the door open. They left the door open, Dangerfield broke it down, and some other players got involved, and suddenly Collingwood are then nervous because they don't actually put you away, which is what... I mean, very few sides do that these days, but you think back to Geelong in their heyday, they would just decimate you. The game was over. The opposition were destroyed. Collingwood do not do that. It's a big game tonight between, obviously, Freo and Collingwood after given what happened to Freo last week. They were putrid.
And a five-day turnaround for Collingwood. They've made some changes.
No Mick Stays out, obviously, and no Mychek.
No.
So, yeah, that's a big one. But, look, so Geelong, and to their credit, the Cats were able to take advantage of the fact that the door was left ajar. I mean, Dangerfield's been spoken about, you know, ad nauseum since, and rightly so. 13 possessions in the last quarter. He was absolutely unbelievable. And we had him on post-game. You referenced that before when he did open with an F-bomb, which was nice.
Just gold.
It was
Do you know how many people... So we had our...
I did see that. Well, there's a little camera there, which works really well.
Yeah,
well,
that was the first...
Chappie doing that.
Yeah, Chappie was doing that.
Not Paul Chapman, obviously.
No.
He's moved on.
Adam from our digital content team just came along for the night. Well, what a night to come along.
He needs to do more of that, King,
if he
can.
I think we're going to make that happen, Benny. It's good.
So did you get a few views on that?
That video...
Did it go viral?
It's had 90,000 views.
Has it?
Yeah, since Sunday.
Right. Well, that's fantastic. Good advertisement for K-Rock. Great advertisement for Patrick Dangerfield that he has an extensive vocabulary that includes the F-bomb straight after the game. Well, but it was a thought-out F-bomb. It wasn't an off-the-cuff F-bomb.
No.
It was a time-stamped, referenced F-bomb, which is always nice.
Is it late enough for me to do this?
Yes, and then he just did it anyway. So, and the way he sort of does it, Patrick Dangerfield, he gets away with those sorts of things because he's...
Well, Jordan Clark the night before on the Friday night, after the Fremantle game, after their performance, he used an F-bomb to describe their performance in the negative on the ABC.
Well, I think we're slowly lapsing the markers
around
that.
You don't want it to become a habit.
No, you don't want it to become a regular thing. Yeah. That's why you sort of have to be a little bit careful.
So Joel Selwood...
We do live in a different era.
Joel bookended his career with F-bombs.
F-bombs, which was always nice. Which was... I remember that, actually. I was holding the microphone in the rooms at Marvel Stadium when he F-bombed for the first time as an 18-year-old. And then his mother, if I remember correctly, his mother made him apologise. I don't know whether it was to the station or to... I'm sure his mother made him apologise.
Right.
So, you know, he's obviously well brung up.
Yeah, well brung up.
Well brung up, old Joel.
And, raised well.
Yeah, but anyway, look, that career was unbelievable. He could have said whatever he liked in his last ever interview and it wouldn't have mattered. But, look, the Cats were good enough. We talked about interviews there, Kingy. What did you make of Bailey Smith's drive-by on the Bulldogs out on the ground post?
Good fun.
Yeah.
I don't have an issue with it. It's... We decry when players are robots and, you know, have to toe the party line.
Mm.
It was a throwaway line. Was it controlled? Potentially, because I don't know whether... I've got to be careful how I phrase this. Would Bailey Smith be sharp enough to produce that line just off the cuff?
So like, what are you saying? He's a bit short on the grey matter.
No, but whether... He's had that tucked away, ready to bring out at some stage, and it presented itself.
Well, the mind works in mysterious ways, but I think if you're lying, if you're in bed at home and you're not thinking, you're not thinking about Sophie Vergara, and you're thinking about what lines you may deliver post-game,
is it any different to you during the week going, all right, you know, where am I putting my little zinger in my commentary this week?
Probably not, but I'm not directing it or referencing it at any one particular group. Look, I get it. I think it's harmless.
It is.
It's theatre. It creates theatre for the Geelong Bulldogs game. The AFL will absolutely love it.
Do you reckon the Geelong marketing team haven't gone?
Well, do you reckon... What do you think the coach would think?
Privately, I don't know whether he'd be overly enamoured by it, but I don't think he's too concerned by it either.
No.
I think it'd be one of those ones, look... Bailey, get where you're coming from.
Yeah.
Just, and it's not, I don't think it's even Chris Scott delivering that. It's probably an Andrew Mackie.
Do you think Dangerfield might be just saying, just be a little bit careful.
Yeah.
We're happy with you to flow with your personality to a degree,
but just
be a little bit careful because we don't want, and it's all, the thing about it, Kingy, is that it's fantastic when he's going as well as he is.
Mm.
So he's backing it up, which is fine. If we reach a point where that's not happening, then we've probably got a little bit of an issue. And let's hope that doesn't happen. But he is playing really good footy. He's playing on the edge. Maybe that's something that helps him play on the edge. We'll never know. I mean, we heard, I forget who it was, one of the players after the game a few weeks ago said how competitive he was in terms of training. And he's, you know, it's more having to pull him back at training than wind him up. He's sort of, you know, wired into the nth degree. So I just thought it was, if I was being, I suppose I've always liked, you know, someone who's got a bit of humility and a little bit humble. I don't mind the stuffing the ball into Jarman Impey's ear. I don't mind the birds to the crowd. I don't mind all that. Just think if you're going outside of it just after a really big win to put shit on another club, just reckon that maybe just crosses the line a little bit and gives you an idea of where his head's at. So, I mean, it's added some huge spice to the Bulldogs game. When's that, in 2 weeks?
Yeah, 2 weeks today. Just a coincidence that the following day, Marcus Bontempelli's on the host broadcaster.
Got asked about it. He had a prepared zinger.
Yeah, but the fact that that was teed up before, like they were going to that cafe cross for Bontempelli before this all unfolded. It just worked out perfectly.
Yeah.
But then the retort too from Bailey Smith on social media.
Oh, I didn't see that.
So the retort was basically fish on a hook.
Oh, I see, yeah. As in got you. Yeah. You've taken the bait. Yeah.
And so Bont's opened a cafe in Torquay, not far from where Bailey lives, is a cafe called the Salty Dog.
Right.
And he's actually put that as his location.
Right. Right. Okay, so now all the pieces are coming together. The other side of the coin is that I don't think, and I'm only guessing, you hear things, so I don't know this to be, I wouldn't want to be on the sort of Stan Johnny Cochran style.
Yeah. Swearing on a Bible.
Yeah, but my understanding is that there's no love lost between the Bulldogs and Bailey Smith.
No, there isn't.
Now, he left on pretty ordinary terms. Yep. I don't think they liked the way he handled himself in his final year. You know, the word is that he could have come back and played, chose not to. That was for a team that was heading towards the finals and playing really good footy at the back end of the year.
And what difference he may have made.
Yeah, and he chose not to play. And I don't think that would enamour you to anybody at a footy club. So there's no love lost there. And then he goes out of his way to give, without giving the middle finger, he gave him the middle finger without actually raising it. So, I wouldn't want to see... I think he's had his fun for a little bit.
Yeah.
Let's just play footy for a few weeks and then see how
we go. And probably, I suspect now, next 3 weeks, obviously this weekend, Giants, Cats have struggled with the Giants in recent times down here.
They have.
Got to go to Adelaide, then the Dogs.
Oh, so it's 3 weeks, the Dogs, yeah.
Yeah, so, well, it's a fortnight today.
Yeah, yeah.
If you can get through those three games, probably 2-1, and one of those wins is over the Dogs, go your hardest.
Yeah, if they could get to 7-4... that would be fantastic.
Considering with what's to come in the back, nothing's a given. We've said that in the AFL.
Yeah, they'll drop one of those, but they'll also probably win one you may not think they would, so which they've already done. So if they could get to 7-4, it would really set them up for a massive crack at top four in the run to the finals.
Trip to Perth.
Yeah, well, they should win that.
Gold Coast here.
Yeah, well, that won't be easy, but home helps.
Essendon at the G.
Well, that's the sort of game that they don't win, but they should be winning that.
Followed by Brisbane on a Friday night.
Yeah, well, that's a tough one.
Before
the bye. But it's here.
What would you like to be at the bye? Would you like to be...
What? When have they got the bye?
That's 15 games in. So would you like to be 10-5?
Oh, if they were 10-5, that would be magnificent. Yeah. Because they play North, Richmond.
Richmond twice.
Yeah.
Sydney.
And Sydney might be out.
Yeah, by round 23. Got to go back to Sydney to play the Giants.
I don't think they'll lose another game, the Cats. So.
Good on you, Mitch.
Yeah, I just don't think we will. So I just think we might even be able to rest players.
Well, what was it?
For games, including this week.
It was 5-4 in 2022. I know that's a different team. But it was 5-4 in 22 and we're going, where are this mob at? And they didn't lose another game.
No, well, I don't think that's going to happen this year. But look, they're setting themselves up with some wins against the grain. And one of those was Saturday night. No Who Lawson plays? Humphreys this week.
Yeah, and
that
no,
hurts.
And no Reece Stanley.
Yeah, well, that hurts, albeit Cameron absolutely pizzled him, but he...
But it gives the flexibility.
Yeah, allows Blitzarfs to play. Yep, we've spoken about all that. So that hurts. Just in terms of other players, the flow-down effect to other players hurts with no Stanley. Blitzarfs probably has to play in the ruck. I just hope that they don't play Sam De Koning in the ruck because Hogan is a gun. They've also got, I don't know if it's Riccardi, he missed last week,
I reckon.
Yep. So I don't know if he's back, he's a good player. They've also got Stringer, who's been just.
Well, he played as a sub last week.
Yeah, so he's been just, but it's the sort of game where you turn it on.
If Geelong play anywhere near their best, and the Giants play near their best, Geelong still win.
I thought Giants were my premiership tip.
The interesting one would be, is Josh Kelly back this week?
I don't know whether who's back for the Giants. I know he missed last week.
They were putrid against Sydney.
Well, like, I watched the game. They tried hard. Their effort was magnificent, but they got no system.
Their execution was...
So their work rate's there. I think it'll come.
It was a bit
Let's put it this way. I'm going to have a little nibble, Kingy. Bet responsibly. I'm having a nibble on the Giants to win the premiership.
Oh,
yeah? Yeah. I think they could win the premiership.
Yeah.
And I know that they're not going that well at the minute, and now's a good time to get on, because I don't know what odds you'll get, but I can check it. And I'm going to just have a little, maybe just a couple of big pineapples.
Right.
Just open the shoulder.
What, as opposed to small pineapples?
As opposed to sort of open the shoulders a little bit.
Right.
AFL matches, Kingy. Can you pad for me, please? Okay. Australian rules, all Australian rules, and the AFL...
Premiership?
No, that's not what I want, Kingy, because it's going to games.
Myers will be... hopefully back this week. Stewart is a test.
Futures.
Mm-hmm.
Premiership. So do you know who is favourite?
Brisbane.
$5.50. Equal favourites with?
Collingwood.
$5.50. Who is third favourite?
I would say, I was trying to think of the ladder, Hawthorn.
Hawthorn are third favourite at $7. The Cats are fourth favourite at $8. $9, the Western Bulldogs, and there it is. This is really putrid odds.
12.
You may be able to boost. $10 about the Giants.
10.
I would have thought 15 would be the go right now, given they've lost, three of their last four?
Mm.
Anyway, I'm getting on the Giants. But I don't know about... I think they're as well-placed as any side. They're not playing well right now. You don't hand out premierships in May,
no.
As Geelong found out in 22, because if they did, they'd be nowhere near it.
Lucky it was September.
It's a big game for the Cats. If they could win, find a way to win, because the Giants are going to be throwing absolutely everything at them. They're coming off some pretty average. Their second half against the Bulldogs 2 weeks ago was absolutely putrid.
It was diabolical.
Absolutely putrid.
The Cats will make... Well, I think Myers will be right. Jack Bowes almost...
And Stewart?
Is a test.
Is a test. So if Stewart doesn't play and Humphries is not playing... Geez, that's a lot of rebound out of your back 50 gone.
Does College Asney get a call?
Well, he's only played one game, hasn't he? They didn't have a VFL game in the weekend to play.
Another one.
I would have thought he did another one. No Jack Henry.
No. So Jack Henry's been pushed back again.
Right, so he's had a little niggle, has he? Is a setback?
Well, they won't use the word setback.
So it's a setback.
Well, I'd say so.
So when they're not using it, this is... Yeah. What did you make of the AFL... Maybe send a friendly reminder to clubs.
Oh, and Geelong, and all of a sudden we've got Weeks beside Cam Guthrie and Jack Martin.
Yeah. What do you make of all that, King?
The AFL cracked the shits with Geelong, basically.
Yeah, but...
And said you're now taking the P155.
Yeah. But in fairness, I think the only people that they're doing a disservice to are their members.
Mm. I did ask that question of... Andrew Mackey.
Oh, yeah. And?
On Sunday.
Yeah.
And I think he took it the wrong way. I used the word respect in there, but I said in respect to, not out of respect to. So I said in respect to your members. And I think he took it as you're not respecting your members. That's not what I meant. But in respect to your members, surely as the owners of your club, that they've got to actually right to know a little bit more than you're giving at the moment.
Absolutely. And we would have just waffled on, did he, Andrew? He's become very good at waffling. He's a certified waffle.
Right. I'll pass that on.
I like Andrew Mackey, but he can waffle now and say absolutely nothing. And you get the end of it and think, he actually didn't say anything there that was relevant to the question that I just asked.
We've got Steve Hocking on Sunday.
Well, he will give us something. I just think you're doing your disservice to your members. You want them to pay up.
Yep.
You're desperate for them to pay up.
Yep.
You're not just doing a disservice to the media, any other supporters. The only people you're doing a service to is your own membership base. And to suggest that the reason that they don't put timeframes in there because in case they get them wrong is farcical. If you've got a medical staff that can't give some sort of time frame that's relevant to an injury, they shouldn't be your medical staff. And if you get it wrong... If it's earlier, do you reckon the member's going to say, he can't play this week, you said it was 4 weeks, there's no way known he can play 3 weeks. And if it goes to 6 weeks, do you reckon any member's going to ring up and said, you said 4 weeks, I've backed the Cats in round 12, I want
my money back.
I want my Kanga back. Do you reckon that is going to happen at all?
No.
So that was just absolute bullshit. Absolute bullshit. And for the coach then to say, I don't know that we do a weekly injury report, he's doing himself no favours there. No one likes a smart ass. Ever. And we got an in, I know you cut it out of one of these podcasts, Kingy, so don't cut this out, but we got a little insight into the coach's personality after the Brisbane game, and I won't go into it because you'll cut it out again, but just a little insight into his personality, which, fair to say, would rub people up the wrong way. So we have got time frames. So Stewart's a test.
Yep.
How long Cam Guthrie?
3 weeks, they hope.
Before VFL footy?
Yep.
College Asney's available, only played one game.
Yep.
Toby Conway?
No, he's still a to be confirmed.
So he's out for this, possibly this year.
Yeah, well, they haven't said that.
That's a serious bed injury, isn't it?
Yep. Well, it's not as serious as it gets, but it's pretty serious.
I'm not sure one Jay Holmes had injuries that were severe and bad.
Can we move on?
Do you think he did?
No, I don't know.
Well, who else? So who else is on that injury list that would be of interest? Busey?
He'll be right to go.
So he's back.
He'll play VFL.
Back for VFL?
Yep.
Right. Is that a bit earlier than we thought?
Yes, it is.
There's got to be some others.
Yeah, so nobody's ringing up the club and saying, well, you said Busey's...
12 weeks.
Yeah.
And it's only been 8.
Yeah.
I think you should leave me out for another four. My God.
I think he was originally 8 to 12. He's coming at the earlier.
Okay.
Would have been available last week.
That's good. That's good. Good for Busey.
So the good thing is the VFL play curtain raiser.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, they're 11:30 on.
Oh, well, that's good.
Sunday.
So, the Cats, so they're going to have problems down back with rebound if Stewart doesn't play. Even if Stewart plays... I don't know. I mean, that's no knock on him. He's just had an unfortunate injury and he struggled. So I don't think he'd expect Tom Stewart to come back and be Tom Stewart, All-Australian Tom Stewart. Lawson Humphries he'd be top five in their BNF.
Yep, comfortably.
Yeah, he provides great rebound, great ability to read the play, get in the way. He's going to be a really big loss. They've got some pretty dangerous forwards. Darcy Jones, if you don't know anything about Darcy Jones, he is a very, very good player for the Giants. He wears a helmet, wears number two, and is very, very quick, very dynamic. You've got Hogan, you've got Riccardi if he comes back in. Brett Daniels, would he be still out?
Aaron Cadman?
Well, Cadman's that one third forward who's former number one draft pick, still finding his feet.
He looked good at times on Sunday.
Yeah, he's
a beautiful kicker.
He is, absolutely, and he's a big rangy sort of key forward. They've got two gun defenders in Taylor and Buckley. They've got gun mid... I mean, if you get Toby Green was the other
tell
one.
The other
Who's playing on Toby Green?
Yeah, good question. Does Mullen...
Oh, God. No. What did you think of...
Just very quickly, too. The other player that's given Geelong grief is Callum Brown.
Well, he's probably... Well, yeah, but I think he's the one... Well, he's been out. He only came back in last week.
Yeah, but he's given Geelong...
He's been in the twos.
Yeah, but he's given Geelong grief before.
Yeah, Connor Ryden plays on Dangerfield.
Would have thought.
Yeah.
Yeah. Buckley, Taylor... Oh, gee, Taylor's done some numbers on Cameron.
Yeah, he's a gun, Taylor. Absolute gun.
Buckley...
And Geelong could have taken him, but we got... I think we got Lachie Fogarty. That worked out well. That was real.
But what did we need at the time?
Well, we need Sam Taylor. you can get a mid-sized bozo that can't kick in pick 49, not pick 22. That was bizarre. That was one of the more bizarre picks in Geelong's history, Lachie Fogarty, given the talent that was behind him. So, midfield, they've got Callahan, who's an absolute bull, Tom Green, who's an absolute bull.
Yep.
If Josh Kelly comes back in, you've got Callum Ward in there as well.
Lachie Ash.
Lachie Ash off halfback. They have got such a good side.
Actually,
I scratch my head as to how they're playing so poorly.
So he's a good player I like watching. Xavier O'Halloran's fun to watch.
Yeah, he's a spare parts for them. He's sort of in the background compared to some of these other players. Whitfield.
Toby Bedford.
Look, they've got, as I said, Gingy. I think they might beat the Cats.
Well, which they've done every year since 2019.
I'm hoping they don't, but I think that Geelong are going to have to produce some of their sharper stuff, and I don't know they're going to be able to produce it with the team that they're going to put out. They reach a critical mass of players out, and the types of players that are out,
yep.
I think hurt. So, I mean, Myers. So you say Myers comes back?
Yep.
Definite.
We'll see the team. He'll be in the squad tonight.
Interesting to see how he goes because some players have really struggled off the back of those sorts of injuries.
Maybe the extra week has helped.
Yeah, well, let's hope. I mean, that's hope.
So in the end, he's going to be the best part of three. He's going to be 20 days.
Yeah. Well, let's hope that's the case. But, you know, it hasn't – If you were sort of having a nearest the pin on that, you'd say more players have struggled in the first few weeks back than played well off the back of an injury like that. So let's hope he does play well because he's really crucial to Geelong.
Would you like some questions, Benny?
Yeah, look, I absolutely love them, King. Right.
Off the Cat Attack podcast, K-Rock Footy X.
Yeah.
Thanks to KFC. Duncan Destain.
The Triple X. Is that the Triple X?
This is from Troy.
Duncan, have you ever been to one of those establishments?
Duncan to stay until Stuart good to return. Agree?
Duncan to stay until Stuart returns.
I think he stays in.
I think Stuart. He stays in with Humphreys out this week. I think he stays in. He was okay. Yeah, he was okay.
Favourite players against the Pies who disappointed or who gave the least effort? Well, Dangerfield was our favourite player. I don't think anybody did.
Who gave the least effort?
Yeah, I don't think anybody gave.
Who are we trying to pot someone there?
Oh, yeah, I think so. I don't think it was anybody that gave least effort.
No, I mean, they had a few players that did struggle a little bit.
Hmm. But even Ollie Henry found time to have moments.
Two goals, he was quiet, but he did kick two goals, a crucial one in the last quarter. He set up one early to Blitzarves. Yeah, I mean, look, he didn't star, but he did enough to keep his spot. Hopefully it's a building block for him to improve again this week and then find his way back to his best form. I don't know that anybody... I mean, they. I've heard a lot of commentary about the Cats sticking to the tag with Mullen on Dacos and then Mullen keeping him to a kick in the last quarter, which was good. I mean, part of that possibly was the Cats dominated the first 20 minutes of that last quarter, which helped. But to his credit, the Cats... Because, I mean, we talked about it, I reckon, halfway through the third quarter. I asked Zach Tui whether it was time to get the tag off, to get Mullen off Dacos, because he wasn't stopping him and he also wasn't producing anything himself.
No,
so you basically only had two midfielders without Mullen doing anything. And he sort of... He sort of suggested that it may be time to do that.
Yeah.
And then look, the cat stuck fat with that tag, and it ended up, you know, working for them. So, just Mullen tag this week. I mean, this is the thing. Mullen's not getting a game for anything he's doing offensively.
No,
he's quick and he's powerful. We hear that all the time. He never gets in a position to use it. So he's not offering you anything offensively. He's only offering you something defensively. Now, he was having problems with mid-sized forwards kicking goals on him, and then he wasn't producing anything. On the weekend, he won one of the four quarters. He was well beaten by Dacos, who was influential for three of the four quarters. Now, Geelong found a way to win in the last quarter. So what do you take? Do you take just that one quarter where he went okay, or do you take the three where he had his pants pulled down? Mm. I don't know. Does he tag? He probably can't tag Callaghan because he's three times his size, Callaghan. He can't tag Tom Green because he's the same.
Yep.
So I don't know there's a match-up to tag. Does he go to somebody like a Darcy Jones? That's a possibility.
Bedford.
I mean, Darcy Jones is only a young player, but he could at least go. He's quick, so he perhaps has the...
Nullif.
Well, Bedford usually plays as a defensive player, as a like a forward but defensively. So he's the sort of player that might go to a... I mean, with Geelong limited in their rebound, he might go to someone like a Zach Guthrie and try and just shut him out of the game completely. Because, I mean, I don't know, where then are the Cats getting their rebound from the back half without if Guthrie was nullified and no Stewart and no Humphreys?
Mm.
I don't know.
Damien Tedesco.
Mr. Tedesco.
Great call. What a game. How lucky are we as Geelong supporters? Kingy, what is this talk about Warple coming to the Cats?
Mm.
What a game from the skipper. Thought the young players were great, especially Clark, who comes back in. Yeah, Warple's name, that's started to gather some momentum.
Well, I had somebody around at my abode, Kingy, for lunch on Sunday, who played with the Warpedo, the Warple. What does Warple sound like? It sounds like it's in this sort of Puopolo areas, isn't it?
It is. It's a board game.
It's a board game. I've just played a game of Warple. Have you ever been Warpled?
Is it a card game?
Well, I don't know, Kingy.
It's probably more a card game.
Warple. It sounds like something that sort of the US military might produce.
Operation Warple.
or the Warple missile. anyway, I did, and he played with the Warpedo, and he said to me, "Oh, did you hear about James Warple's coming to Geelong?" And I thought he was joking, and he said, "Yeah," and I said, "Okay." And he was saying that it was almost like a done deal.
Mm-hmm.
A good sire, Dundee.
I was going to say, I was
better. Very good sire. But so that sort of came out of left field, but that is on the money.
Premiers. Mm-hmm. I give the Irish boys a whack, but credit where it's due. They were great on the weekend.
Yeah, Connor was.
Connor does his best work in the back 50. In regards to contracts, do you read anything into only giving SDK and Manor 2 years, possibly freeing up room to bring a big name in?
No.
The Manor one was probably a surprise that it wasn't longer.
No, I think... Manor's only in his second year. I think the club probably had the leverage there to say we're only going to give you 2 years.
Yeah.
And he's possibly backing himself in to get a bigger deal when he's 28, 29 off the back of 3 good years.
Yep.
So I reckon that one's a no-brainer. And I reckon that would 2 more years take Sam De Koning up to free agency?
Restricted free agency, I think.
Yeah, so that's why they're doing that. That the club probably would have liked to have signed him for longer, but his management have said, looked at the time frames and said, you're best to sign a 2-year deal, play some good footy, and you will be worth a bomb.
He's not going to Geelong. He's not going anywhere, Sam De Koning. He loves it down here.
Well,
the De Konings, I think, have... Basically, all bar Tom have set up life.
It'd be nice if Tom set up life, yeah, isn't
good.
Do you think the Cats could get him gigging? Nah, are they into him?
No.
Are they into Sam Reed? I mean, Harley Reed?
I was going to say Sam Reed.
He retired from Sydney. Hopefully they're not. Harley Reed?
No, more into Zach Butters than Harley Reed, I think.
What have we got as collateral in terms of, are we offering like an Easter egg hunt for the club? Or what we've got at pick 704.
Butters, it'll be future picks. It'll be future firsts. Butters and Reed aren't out of contract until the end of next year.
Mm. Well, they're talking about if Butters leaves, getting something for him before he does leave. Because is he an unrestricted free agent next year?
He would be.
Just get your popcorn out, Kingy.
This is Butters' 9th year in the system.
The old Butters.
Mm. Leroy's, what do you guys think about isolating Stengel, deep 50, one out in tight games? I feel like he doesn't get often beaten 1v1, and if you kick it into space for him to run into, his ground ball game is elite. Is a game winner, can turn a game with only a few possessions.
Yeah, I think he is a very good one-on-one player. He's probably stronger than you think, or stronger than his physical stature would suggest he is. I don't know about playing him one out. I mean, the game has to flow to the point where you're getting the ball to him one out. How often in the modern game do you kick it long to the square and it's just the two defenders, forward and the back there?
Rare.
Never, I would suggest. It might happen twice a game.
He's only kicked 3 goals in the last 6 games too.
Yeah, I thought he did pretty well on the weekend though. I reckon he had 18 possessions, did he?
No, 12.
Oh, 12. I thought he played okay. He didn't kick a goal, yeah, but he is strong. No, I just don't. This whole sort of isolating blokes one out, it just doesn't happen in modern footy. You've got to find a way to work within the structure. And, if he gets an opportunity one out, yeah, he's going to make the defender nervous, but it doesn't happen often enough to actually sort of set it up that way. I mean, that means you've got to push everyone else up the ground. If you want to isolate someone one out, it's bloke wearing 35. Because he'd make you real Bruce Nankervis, even Ian. Was there another one? Toby.
Zach 1111. I feel like the way you talk about Gaz Senior is how I'll talk about danger in 20 years' time.
Yep.
Cannot imagine seeing a better Geelong player in my lifetime. Absolute freak.
Yeah.
Surely he's the next best after Gaz Senior for you two.
Yeah.
In terms of pure game-winning ability for Geelong, yes.
I'd have to say that, Kingy. The thing that sort of sets Dangerfield apart is he does things that 99.9% of players can't do. Gary Ablett did things that 100% of players can't do. He was a freak. He could do what Dangerfield did, not to the same level or with the same consistency, but if he wanted to, he could. But he would sit on your head. He'd kick a goal. He could kick. His kicking was infinitely better than Dangerfield's.
Yeah, yeah.
He could kick it 60 on his left. Mm. But Dangerfield is a highlight reel. That's what I like. In terms of watching him, every time he goes near the ball, you get excited because you think something that's going to end up on the highlight reel is about to happen, particularly the way he's playing this year. And other players have been, I loved watching Paul Chapman. Now, not in the same realm as a Dangerfield or a Gary Ablett Senior, but just the way he played the game for his stature. He had great hands. He was a clinic. I love clinical finishes in front of goal. Stevie J was one. Mm. Get those blokes who miss all the time. And I keep Jade Gresham, Essendon. He is a serial misser. A serial. He's a small forward who's a serial misser. And if you want to be a serial anything, King, it's not a misser.
Right.
You want to hit the target.
Right.
Have you ever done anything that's been serial sort of areas?
With danger dropping
the F-bomb. I did once.
With danger dropping the F-bomb Saturday night, does that mean we can now expect to hear more of Benny's stories? That was McAuley. No. Randy Mazda, what is it feel?
Was that the one last week about the Geelong jumper? Did that get in or did you cut that out? About the little in the 32? I tell you about that? I told you about that. That's why you're laughing. No. And did you cut that out? You bastard.
Randy Mazda.
That wasn't her name, but...
No, Bruce Mazda, 1979. What is feeling on the number of contested marks we're giving up in the back line? We made Mackay look like Carey and Mychek look like Kernahan. Stuart and Henry will come straight in. Jack Henry will when he's fit, but he's not fit. Tom Stewart will when he's fit. What about O'Sullivan versus Colajasny?
As in playing?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, look, the upside for O'Sullivan is enormous. I mean, we know what we're going to get from Colajasny. He's a reliable defender. Will O'Sullivan end up being a much better player than Colajasny? You'd like to think so. And in what we've seen so far, you would say yes. He has the ability to be a really dominant defender. He's still learning the game. And he got beaten critically. Mychek, both contested marks in the last quarter, in the last 2 minutes, were on Connor O'Sullivan. Yeah. In the goal square, now I tried to sort of stop the vision kicking. I didn't have much going on. I had some time off this week and I was just sort of floating around. And if you watch, what is Mark Blitzarv doing? He's 6'6".
He's not involved.
I'm pretty sure it was him standing 15 metres off to the contest. Mm. And O'Sullivan was left one-on-one with, I think, De Koning was the other one going up. Look, so he did get beaten there. He got beaten in that other contested mark. But he's still learning the game and his upside is huge. So I don't think you can... I'd love to have a fit Jake Colajasny playing this week with those players out.
He needs another week.
Yeah, well, that's right. But I'm saying if he was fit, I've got no hesitation in those two playing together because they can play slightly different roles. And on what we've seen, and I know it would be a big task for a player in just his second year, but O'Sullivan looks like he's going to be a really good play-reading defender who gets in the way. Now, Colajasny's more... He'll stand one-on-one with his opponent and actually outmark him occasionally. He's really good at that. He's not such a great intercept player. Now, if when Colajasny comes back in, if he's coming in and locking down, that then potentially offers a rangy 6'6", 6'7" O'Sullivan to be more of an intercept player, and that looks like his game.
With Stanley out for a while and Conway hurting himself, should the Cats look for a ruckman in the mid-season draft? Right now, Geelong don't have a pick.
Well, that would be difficult.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it?
Yeah, so that won't be happening. Off the big footy, Cats. Would you love your thoughts on Jack Bowes, despite him kicking the sealer on the weekend? Just can't see what he brings to the team. Doesn't get enough of the ball. Not particularly skillful, not fast, not overly composed. Doesn't shut down opponents, doesn't mark overhead. Not a tackling weapon. What are his strengths?
He's just pulled him apart there, hasn't he? Hope Jack's not a regular listener. He does like his electric blanket, though,
he does.
Jack Bowes.
He was on K-Rock this morning. It's not like he's getting a game because he's a young kid with potential.
No, I have, Kingy, and you, if you don't back me up here, you'll be time-stamping another bit in a minute. But I have said I don't know exactly what he offers you. He fluctuation in his form are frustrating. Mm. In fairness, they have played him. I think this week they play him down back. With Humphreys and possibly Stewart not playing, and Colajasny,
which he played well, was it Easter Monday?
Yeah, he was okay. Yeah, he has the gap between his best and his worst is huge. He doesn't have great leg speed. He is generally a clean ball handler. He can kick you a goal. I know he's been playing down back, but he can kick you a goal, and we saw that the other night. I reckon, did he kick a goal against the Crows? Maybe he didn't. Look, he can kick you the old goal. He's got clean hands. Every now and then he'll do something you think, geez, that's good. But he just doesn't do it often enough.
You're right about the goal against the Crows.
Yeah, he kicked a key goal against the Crows. Yeah. So he does have some upside, but I agree. He's the sort of player that you could quickly find a replacement for until he... What's he played, 100 games?
Yep.
Yeah, he just that's his downside is he just doesn't do it consistently.
130 games.
You're never 100% sure what you're going to get. And in fairness to him, he hasn't really played a position. They try to get him in the midfield. They try to play him down back, you know, on a wing, all these sorts of... Has he just come in and played one role? No. Is he struggling at times to fulfil different roles? Yes.
Dudas Maximus, how would you improve the lower tiers? Oh, sorry. Just also... oh, yeah, Dudas Maximus. How would you improve the lower tiers, VFL and below of the competition? I would bring back a reserves competition. We're going to end up with a situation next year. Well, we have already have a situation where we have a competition that, especially the Melbourne-based clubs, have their reserve grade VFL, whatever you want to call their team, playing in a competition where they don't actually play everybody once. And you actually play some teams twice and not play other teams once in that competition. It's ridiculous. An AFL reserves comp's highly unlikely because of the cost. Fremantle are not in a hurry to break their alignment with Peel. They're happy with that. The Eagles have got their own team in the Waffle, as have Port Adelaide and South Australia, and Adelaide and the Sandful. But it's never going to be a perfect system, unfortunately. It's always going to be compromised, and it is what it is. Geelong haven't suffered for it.
No.
But other clubs, St Kilda and Sandringham, look like they're going to go their separate ways at the end of this year. Tassie want to try and come in next year. If that happens, we could have 23 teams in the VFL next year. There's some talk of a conference system. The issue is, if the AFL clubs walked away from the VFL and wanted to run their own reserve grade comp, I don't think the VFL survives, because it leaves you with about seven clubs.
No, well, it's come in and sort of pillage it to agree, yeah, and then leaves. It would, yeah, leave it in a state where it's, yeah, no longer sustainable.
25 years on, it's no good.
Yeah.
So, you take a while to answer that one. But I'd like to see a reserve grade. I'd like to see a national reserve grade comp.
I haven't really thought about it, Kingy, to be honest with you. It's not something that sort of launches into the frontal lobes of my cranium. In fairness.
Catters, pleased to see our coaches try a different move with Mullen running with Dacos. Thought he had been a liability in defence with his regular turnovers. Yeah. The run with Roll was a better matchup for him. We got up for Henry's couple of goals and overall super proud of the boys.
Yep.
Shout out to the Cat members who just enjoyed the Hawks into the Blues, into the Pies mass crowds. It was hell. That scheduling was a health and safety hazard. Thank God for the 8 points. Country roads take us home. Can't wait to enjoy the match in peace on Sunday with the radio back down a few decibels. A great effort, but I think 2-1's a good result out of that Houlihan treble.
Absolutely.
Yep.
And I mean, the one you probably thought they'd win is Carlton.
Yeah.
That's the one they lost. So I'm saying you don't want to bank anything in this competition. It's too brutal to say we're going to do X, Y, and Z. I mean, I wouldn't have thought the Cats, if you polled, you know, 100, 200 of their fans, Kingy, how many do you reckon would have said they'd beaten Adelaide in Adelaide?
No, not many.
Oh, well, you would have got 25% maybe if you were just looking at it realistically.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they were able to win that one as well. And to win it, I mean, halfway through the third quarter, Geelong would have been, I don't know what they were in the live in the betting, but they would have to have been $5 to win that game.
Yeah.
And they somehow found a way to be at 1.3 goals up and then nearly lose it.
Yeah. Howler 41, what a win. Might have got the rub of the green in the last half, but commentators and fans alike failed to recall from halftime in the Blues game to quarter time that the Cats had three kicks in three quarters. Concerns as always with the midfield, like the Blues and Hawks, the Pies went on a seemingly endless clearance run. The Pies man actually had the most clearances with 8, but didn't attend a centre bounce. Surely he's worth a try there. George Stevens isn't quick, but averages 9 clearances per game in the VFL and is a bigger body. Or a Mitch Nevitt, whose magnet must have fell off the board. Now, Mitch Nevitt's struggling with that foot.
Yeah.
In round one, he had 4 clearances with 22 touches. Is he injured? Yes, he's got plantar fasciitis. Also a concern, inside 50s. We've been kept under 50 inside 50s 5 of our last 6 games. Plenty having a crack at the forwards, but the ball not getting there enough. Finally, a picture was posted on the Geelong socials by the club on Friday showing Loch Ness Conway actually training. Did he escape from his bed? are we confident the bed spasms have stopped? Go Cats. He's making progress, but there's still no time.
He's still to be confirmed. Which suggests he's not coming back anytime soon.
Yeah. Son of God 29. Geez, I love this club. Words cannot do justice to what we saw from the 35 on Saturday night. Did he have a Superman cape surgically attached in the preseason? Special shout out to O'Sheen and his job on Nick Dacos.
Well, it was one quarter.
Yeah.
He got hammered for three. So I'm credit where credit's due. He was good in the last quarter, but let's not suggest he shut down Nick Dacos for four quarters. He got beaten in 75% of the game.
Stephen Wells, recruiting genius, rubbing off on Mac, trading our first pick with Essendon in 2023 draft to slide back one spot and get Connor O'Sullivan, and the extra pick that got Manor needs to be talked about more. O'Sullivan and SDK are the pillars for the next decade.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Need to stick with Wiltshire. As sub has been in two pretty hot games, but will benefit in the long run. It'll be good to get Grime back, but at least we're not close to knowing the status of the following. Jack Henry, 1-3. Collar will play VFL. Cam Guthrie, 3 weeks. Jack Martin, 3 weeks. Benny's man, Loch Ness, son of God, 29, is to be confirmed. So there's your updates there. Broncos, amazing how players given time can develop well into better players. Earlier this year, supporters wouldn't want Mullen near the orange slices during the game. Did a decent job on one of the most influential players in the game. Only 3 touches in the last quarter with the whips really cracking shows he didn't back down. I reckon with how physical Mullen was, Dacos is still feeling the efforts. I see Blitz changing managers and not re-signed yet. Surely Blitz has earned asking for more than 2 years and should get it. Even if he tapers off in the second year, he's given plenty to warrant the second year. Would you sign Blitz for 2 more and make him do a 1+1 in lost wages for the next 3 years? So Las Vegas for the next 3 weeks. So look out for Vegas shenanigans. Enjoy, Daz.
Oh, Daz.
I'd just be saying to Blitz.
Vegas shenanigans. That sounds fantastic.
I think it's 1 for Blitz Arves with a trigger.
Oh, Kingy, I'm no expert on that. I mean, he's been enormously durable. Incredible. Is he sort of slowing down? It doesn't look like it. I mean, he probably is to a degree. You can't turn back time forever, but on what we're seeing now, I would have thought he'd ask for 2. Does he get a little bit more for 1 and then go again, or do they offer him 2? I don't think there's a right or wrong answer to that, but on form he's playing well enough to... You've got to be really careful projecting forward 2 years for a bloke who's, what, 34? Yeah. So Tangdilly's 36. Things can go downhill quite quickly. So he's not Patrick Dangerfield, who got 2. Mm. So let's get that out there. He's been very good for Geelong, and he's been very durable. But was it a hamstring last year that he had?
Yes.
He had a bad hamstring, missed a month or 6 weeks.
Who, Blitzars?
Yeah.
Played 24 games last year.
Oh, what about the year before? He had a hamstring. I'm sure he had a
23,
hamstring.
19. He played 19 games in 23.
Yeah, right. So he's actually, so he didn't miss many. Yeah, I don't know what the right or wrong answer is there. They'd have all sorts of data, Kingy, that we don't have access to about how he's going and ground he's covering and those sorts of things, how he's feeling. Is he finding it, more difficult to get up week to week? He's such a versatile player that there's few that will be able to take his position, if anyone. If there's a clause that helps remove him on after 1 year, can they do that? So that the club aren't up for a fortune if things went pear-shaped next year, you'd probably go 2.
I'd just sign him for 1 with a trigger. Just say, mate, we'll give you 1, and if you play 16+,
there's a lot of uncertainty around that from his perspective then. So if he has to play a certain number, if he gets injured, and misses just one of those, one less game and he only plays the 15 and doesn't trigger it. I don't know. You can see it from both sides, but at this stage, you'd be hoping that he can maintain this sort of form for the next couple of years for the Cats.
Hydro's Heroes, Benny.
Oh, yeah, Kingy. We got Hydro's Heroes. So Hydro was very, very excited, Kingy, we missed it last week because we went off early in the holster, didn't we?
You didn't have the numbers.
I didn't, because we did it on a Monday. Mm. So we went off on the in the holster. Has that ever happened to you, Tommy?
No, Benny. Let's move on. Number 8.
So we're just going through, Kingy. We're just quick recap. 1, Wayne Closter. Mm. 2, Tom Harley. 3, Jimmy Bartel. This is Hydro's Heroes. Andrew Mackey, 4. The Gazooki.
5.
The great Gazooki. Yeah. The great man. The number 5. The greatest player ever to play footy. The Gazook. He was number 5. Brad Otten, 6. Paul Couch, 7. Joel Corey, number 11. Joel Selwood, 14. Peter Riccardi, 15. Kent Kingsley. K-Rock's own, number 18, Mitch Duncan, 22, Larry Donoghue at 23, Kingy, just tipped out Josh Caddy and Gary Rowan, Andrew Buse, 27, Tim Darcy, 28, the Gazooki Jr., 29, Matthew Scarlett, 30, Bruce Nankervis, 33, Patrick Dangerfield, 35, and Ben Graham was number 36.
So there'll be some people very quickly who will go Ben Graham, 36. That's what he started his career in.
He did.
Before going to the Paul Couch at 7.
He did, Kingy. So this week, Kingy, we are talking about numbers 8 and we are talking about numbers 20.
Right.
And I can tell you, just first person that comes to mind with number 8?
Rotten Ronnie.
Or there's some been some characters wearing the eight kingy. Rotten Ron Burns.
Yeah.
So or otherwise King Kingy known as Long Ron.
Correct. What about the Dunny Brush?
That's because he kicked it long. Yeah. He had a big boot on him.
Yeah. The Dunny Brush wore the eight.
The Dunny Brush did wear the eight and was a very, very good player. And Junior Dunny Brush is playing for North Melbourne. Could have come to the Cats.
Robert Scott.
Yeah, but chose to go to North Melbourne.
The best talent manager the game's ever seen wore the eight.
Kevin Sheehan.
Yep.
Yes. Obviously the man wearing... And must have been a little bit of a theme, Kingy, about the sort of long run arrangements because Josh Hunt...
was also a long kicker.
Went from
the ball.
41, but he was really good in the men's department. Yeah, yeah. So... Which is quite extraordinary. So, and Jake Colajewski, Kingy. Yep. Who else wore number eight? I reckon. What's his name that came over from West Coast? Wear eight. The former first round pick came and played for the Cats. Played for the Eagles. Of more recent times.
David Haynes.
Yes. Did he wear eight? I reckon he did.
At the Cats.
Yes. I reckon he wore eight, Kingy.
He did. Yeah. 19 games.
Yes. So
he was gone after 2 years.
Yeah, I reckon he was picked 16 of the West Coast Eagles.
All right.
First rounder.
I reckon David Haynes played in the prelim in 2020, in 2004.
Well, Kingy,
he played in the three finals.
You've got me there, Kingy.
Yep. Kicked two goals in the semi-final win over Essendon,
so,
which is the week after Essendon won their last final.
Right. So we've got Kevin Sheehan, Robert Scott, Jake Colajewski, Josh Hunt, Long Ron. Would you go Long Ron?
No, I'd go Collar.
Do you reckon?
Yep.
Services to the club.
Yep.
How many games Josh Hunt play?
198, but not all of them in the...
In the eight. Well, eight. I mean, you sort of got to fold over the other games you played in the other number. Yeah. Kevin Sheehan?
He played 100 games, but it took him 10 years to do it.
Right, so he's not it. Geez, I'd have to say, Kingy, and I'm always err on the side of excitement. How many games did Long Ron play?
134, kicked 239 goals.
Yeah, I love Jake Colajewski. He's one of my favourite players, but I'd have to give it my vote just for... Because Ronnie was one of those players, the only person, and he even didn't know what he was doing. His teammates had absolutely no idea what he was doing. No. And every time he got the ball, you got very, very, very excited that something extraordinary was about to happen, good, bad, or indifferent, because he had no idea what was happening. Mm. And he was exciting, and he got you up off your plastic, and you spilled a little bit of your brown bubbly refreshment, which you used to be able to have in the outer king in a can form back then, I reckon. So I'm going to go Long Ron Burns, and you're going Jake Colajewski. So we may need Hydro.
I'm happy with Ronnie.
Well, you just said Colajewski.
Yeah, but I'm happy. You've made a good argument.
I think for excitement purposes, yeah. We'll go Ronnie.
Okay.
So Ron Burns
in the eight,
and we had him on K-Rock a couple of times,
yeah.
Ron.
Yeah, he was working at Darwin Hospital.
He was in the.
We had him on when Geelong played Adelaide a few years ago. When the old
he was in the plastic surgery department, yeah. Wasn't he? Was he?
I don't know.
I don't know what department he was in, King.
Number 20.
He was in the. Yeah, number 20. So
I want Carl Steinfurt.
Former pick 17 of the Cats.
Yeah.
First round pick. Never quite lived up to it.
They went to Collingwood, though, and played some good footy.
Yep. Andrew Buck Rogers.
Buck Rogers.
From South Australia.
Yep.
He played, how many games did he play?
Buck played 75.
75. He was serviceable.
Mm-hmm. That's really it. It's Ray Card's next, one of best and fairest.
And, well, the man who's going to get it, Kingy, is none other than the man who coaches the Newtown Football Club.
Yep.
And talking about excitement, well, he was that on steroids, Steve Johnson. He was – how many goals did Stevie J kick?
452.
452 goals from?
253.
Is that all up? That includes Giants?
No, that's Geelong.
That's just Geelong.
Yep. All so, up, he kicked more than 500. He played 293 and kicked 516.
That is good darts.
His first year at the Giants when they made the
was
prelim.
Good. Did he kick 40 plus?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. And they were stiff not to play any granny that year.
He was a very, I mean, he goes without saying, he was tough. The other thing that you probably didn't realise about him, I don't think he was the world's greatest trainer, Stevie J, but he had an unbelievability gut run.
Well, you know what they called him, Dogger?
Because he had dog's body. Yeah. He didn't look like anything but a footballer. But he had a great ability to push himself through and run and have some endurance about him when he perhaps wasn't the world's greatest trainer. And his sense around goal was first rate. I mean, he transformed the game with those kicks around the corner. Now we call it Stevie J. So on the J curve.
Yep.
So if you've done that, if you've produced something in footy that's actually changed the verbiage in footy, yep, and the way we play, hats off to you. Matthew Scarlett is another one who I reckon transformed the way players play fullback.
Yep.
As in, it can be an attacking position, not just a negative position. So Stevie J 20 and Long Ron Burns at number
8.
Why are you laughing, Tom?
No.
You started laughing.
No reason. Can we go now?
Yes.
I'm done. We're on air at 2 o'clock on Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
Steve Hocking is going to join us.
Oh, that'll be good.
Yep.
We can ask him.
A lengthy chat with him. Yeah. Hoping to get Dave Matthews on.
Yeah, well, Dave is usually accommodating.
Yes, CEO of the Giants. And yeah. John Friend is our one-game wonder.
John Friend?
Yep.
Yeah.
Played one game back in 1971.
What about his brother? Fisherman's.
The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, locally owned and operated for over 40 years.